Hi, Dan.
I'm not Dan.
What? Who is this? It's Lex Friedman sitting in for Dan. That's fitting. That seems only appropriate. I want to thank Six Colors subscriber. Who suggested this? Who is the silly person who suggested this? Oh, I can't even find it now. Oh, Timothy Sanders. Thank you, Timothy.
Way to go, Timothy.
He booked you on a podcast, Lex.
I appreciate it, Timothy. I needed the work.
How is the world of computers?
That's the question on everybody's mind.
It is.
I like computers. I got to tell you, I was hanging with some friends from Microsoft earlier this week, and I saw almost everybody using a Surface tablet, and I was thinking, that looks like a cool computer.
What? Surface at Microsoft?
Yeah,
impossible. Did you go into a Microsoft store, too? There's a lot of Surfaces in there. Not a lot of people.
No, I have standards.
You told me that you were at Microsoft, and I said my immediate instinct was to respond with, boo, boo. And then I thought, wait, I like Microsoft now. I don't have a problem with Microsoft. They're kind of okay. And I think the Surface is a cool-looking piece of hardware other than the operating system it runs. That's a problem. It's not as good. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I had the same kind of anxiety going in, and then I was the only person in my meeting that had a Mac, and I was like, hey, at least I'm presenting from PowerPoint. I didn't mention that it was a keynote I converted to PowerPoint, but still I was presenting from PowerPoint. I don't know, but they were all on iPhones, so
yeah.
It's a whole new world
because there's no Microsoft equivalent product for them and all of that. Yeah, I think they were kind of over it. Even Christina Warren works at Microsoft and she has a MacBook and it's fine. Like it's fine. They don't have the lasers don't come out of the ceiling and explode your Mac when you're at Microsoft. Seattle? Did you like the Microsoft campus out there? I've been there a couple of times and I'm always amazed at how huge it is and how many soccer fields and volleyball courts they have.
I didn't see those, but I was amazed at how huge it was. And what I was thinking actually, and you can think the same thing when you visit, I guess now Apple Park, where I've never been, but you think just a couple of people started this thing. Like this is enormous. This is gigantic and world affecting every day. And it's just a pair of people basically. Kick this thing off.
Yeah. And now it's enormous and a huge part of the economy in Seattle. I mean, obviously Amazon is too, but out there in Redmond, I went to a bat mitzvah in that general area last year. And I was amazed at how so much of the hotels and the everything is, if it isn't Microsoft, it's Microsoft related,
Microsoft adjacent.
People are going to be visiting Microsoft, so they stay at the hotel, or it's workers from Microsoft who are going over here and buying lunch or whatever. Like it's so focused on, it's such a huge part of that part of the greater Seattle area. It's kind of amazing. I'm doing, I've got clothes in the dryer in the background, by the way. So the people on the Secret podcast know that I like to do laundry while I do a podcast. So here we are.
I'm supportive. I was frankly just impressed by the tech on display there. It wasn't overdone. It wasn't super in your face, but the building I was in, you sign in with the Surface tablet, which was fine. There were giant touch screens on the wall that were clearly powered by Microsoft software to check anything. You could get a map of where you were within the complex, or if you had to go to the airport, it would give you estimated wait times. You could map wherever you wanted to go on these giant. I didn't use any of those things, but I liked that they were there. They looked cool. It was nice. It was just nice.
You know, the old briefing area at Infinite Loop 3, you'd walk in and they had an iMac running something that looked suspiciously like whatever the successor to HyperCard would be. It was just a big button interface, and it was put in your name and who you are from, and then a little label printer printed out a paper label that you stuck on your shirt, or didn't. If you didn't go through the doors, you didn't actually need to stick it on. And I contrast that with Apple Park, which I have been to. I haven't been in the big ring, but I've been to do briefings. They do the briefings at the Steve Jobs Theater, which is a little weird, but it's a beautiful building and it's away from campus, so I can't steal any secret information, I guess.
Thank goodness.
But what they do is, so they've got this across the street from the visitor center, which, have you been to the visitor center?
No.
All right. The dryer finished, by the way, so now it's quieter here.
I miss it.
So across the street from the visitor center, there's a reception building, and for my briefings, I go in there. And now there's a... It's quite a contrast, because it used to be there was the one lady and the iMac at Infinite Loop 3. And now it's there's three or four people with IMAX. They're all sitting behind a desk. You tell them who you are and who you're seeing, and they hand you a plastic, it's like a it's got to have an RF something in it, but it's a badge with a cloth lanyard to wear around your neck, that is your pass. And then they pass you through to another room on the other side, and which is exactly the same. It's a mirror image of the first room, but the people are different. I checked. I definitely feel like you're stamping through a parallel universe, which I guess you are, because you're moving from the real world to Apple Park world when you cross over that boundary. And then you wait there for them to come and get you and lead you off to the theater for your briefing.
It is, you know, it's astonishing to think about how successful these companies can be to spend as much as they do on their space. And there is something to be said for great space. I know my company, we moved in New York from 2/3 of us in a WeWork and 1/3 in a very lousy building to a much nicer, larger space. And it's very expensive to do that. And that's just like in an already existent skyscraper. But when you think about the costs involved in those things, like instead we could just make all the products cheaper and I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah. Well, I had that thought. There was a story, this week about Mike, the millennial focused video news network, going out of business. And one of the tidbits in the Peter Kafka story for Recode about it was, and he had to correct it, they burned through their $60 million investment, which included two floors in the World Trade Center. And he corrected it to, it was only one floor in the World Trade Center. I'm like, oh, well, then that's okay. And I think to myself, you're a startup and you're spending a huge chunk of your money on super expensive. First off, real estate in New York is expensive. You know, real estate in Manhattan is that much more expensive. And real estate in fancy new office buildings is even that much more expensive. And I rolled my eyes on Twitter, as I do sometimes, because I just got to let it out somewhere. And sometimes Twitter gets that. And one person responded quite rightly, because this is the answer, and I knew it going in, but it still annoys me, and said, none of the venture capitalists want to go to New Jersey. And it's like, it's true. What I said was, it's an ego trip, and it totally is an ego trip for somebody like Mike, but they got their investors want to see their money at work, and the people who are running the company, there's like a, look at us, look how legit we are. We've got this space. The problem is it shortens their runway, increases their burn rate. And did I use those words right? And it's bad. Like, that's the thing that really bugs me, is not that everybody needs to work their startup out of an abandoned strip mall outside of Denver, but you could save a lot of money if you did that.
Yeah.
Now explain why your company is in Midtown Manhattan near Broadway.
Well, you have to be where the big talent is. You have to be where the staff talent is.
It's true. You guys have a whole like studio. And like when I was there the other week, Alan Alda was in one of the studios as we walked by. And it's like, I get like there is, if you need to be in New York because that's where the talent is, and that's where your people are coming in to make podcasts and things like that, I totally get it. There are some businesses that I think you do not need this office space. This is...
Oh, like, 100%.
Yeah, like Macworld. Macworld didn't need to spend the money on an IDG in general on being South of Market, other than for the like to point at it and take pride in it and say, look how legitimate we are that we are here. But it was like not necessary. I don't know.
Yeah. Although I will say Macworld did pack a lot. IDG packed a lot into that space.
Well, eventually, but that was because we kept dropping floors and subletting those floors out to other people for a lot of money. But like,
I've heard of a drop ceiling, but a drop floor.
No.
I was trying to fill in for Dan Morin.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That was just as almost as bad as what Dan would do. yeah, I don't know. It's the the cost of that. I feel like you get to a certain level, and you know when you're a certain level, like your company is. Which we should call Stitcher, but it's also Midroll Media, a Stitcher company, a Scripps company, right? Is that how many levels of parentheses does your company name have?
That was close. Okay. That was close.
You get to that level and you have a very nice office in a nice building near Broadway, near Virgil's Barbecue, my favorite barbecue restaurant.
And the argument, honestly, that Apple and Microsoft and even Midroll should be making is... by having these nice spaces, we can attract better talent who do better work when they're there. And thus, we can't drop our prices on our hardware. Not that Midroll makes any, but we can't make our Surfaces and Macs and iPads any cheaper because we've got to pay for this space because the space makes us able to make these great products. That's
right.
The theory.
And at that level, right, when you're the size of Microsoft or Apple, if you want to buy a bunch of space and build your own building, like, go ahead, right? Like,
do you,
In the end, saving on the cost of the marble in the stairwell at Apple Park is not going to shave any money off of that MacBook purchase, really.
Yeah.
Yes, Lex, did you have a question?
I have a totally unrelated question for you, just because you're my
This is a secret podcast. We can do whatever we want.
I used to be a Rhapsody subscriber, and then right around the time they became Napster, I switched over to Amazon Music because it was like the echo was annoying when it would keep saying, sorry, I can't play that song.
You can only play 30 seconds.
Play a sample of it. And so we switched to Amazon Music because we had all those Echo devices and we've been using Amazon Music for a while. At the time, I didn't know that there were a variety of software solutions to move your playlists and things from one music service to another. So I did it all by hand. I recreated everybody's playlists. It was painful and time consuming, but it made it work. Now I see, as we record this today, that Apple Music support is coming to Echo devices, and I've got only Echoes and Sonoses throughout the house. And so my question is, should I switch again merely so I can tell Siri to play any song I want, since Siri shortcuts don't let me tell Amazon Music to play whatever I want?
I think we need to see exactly what kind of integration it is, because I've gotten excited about this before, only to find that it's like horribly limited integration. Right.
But if I have to tell Apple Music,
right? or it's Hey Lady in the Canister, play this song on Apple Music every single time. It's more annoying than if you can do what I think you can do with Spotify, which say
exactly,
this is what I have, play from this. So if they let you click that radio button over to Apple Music and say just use Apple Music, like you can with that's how the Sonos stuff works, right? You link your Apple ID, because I have some Sonos stuff too, and it works with Apple Music. It was the first non-Apple product to support Apple Music, and it once you are logged in, it just works, it's fine. So I hope it's like that, because that would be exciting, because I have some Echoes and I have HomePods and I have Sonoses, and the Echo is the odd one out now because I have Apple Music, and I actually dumped my Amazon Music subscription because I just figure I can play it on the HomePod or on the Sonos if I want to. I would love to have the lady in the kitchen be back in the game. That would be nice.
So your advice to me is wait and see how tight that integration is.
Yeah, because it might be bad, right? I hope it's not. I probably won't.
I can't imagine. Like, I don't know why Apple would even tolerate it unless they feel like they need the branding every time you say it. But if you had to say it every single time, that's ridiculous.
That would be, hey, lady, Apple Music, can you play Apple Music, the album Apple Music? Like, you'd say it enough times, we'll play it for you. But otherwise, we're not gonna let you do that. I hope so. So I think I'm encouraged. I would say, when they launch it, you'll see, those of us who've got it, we'll all try it out. Dan and I will certainly try it out and we'll let you know how it goes. But I've been happy.
I think Dan
I've
is
been
an
happy
Amazon
with the HomePod.
Customer.
So is he? Yeah, you might be right.
I think so.
Well, then I'll let you know, because I'm an Apple Music customer who has an Amazon Echo. I have an Echo Show in my kitchen.
I have an Echo Show right next to me, and I have the Echo Spot on my nightstand, because I like to have one camera always looking at me as I sleep.
One thing that I realized the other week is that I was cooking dinner, and Accidental Tech Podcast was streaming live, and I thought, I wonder if I could do that live stream instead. And it's a podcast. Have you heard of those?
I have. That
okay, it's like a very not very well listened to tech podcast.
Got it.
You can't imagine what try to picture this. Three guys talk about tech every week.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't get it either. I think it should be two, not three. But anyway, it's three guys. So what I realized is that they finally upgraded the Echo Show software, and I could actually open the web browser and go to their page and press play and stream their site. And then I realized I could go to like YouTube pages. I could go to basically it when they put the web browsers in there, like, it's just a little crappy computer now. And you can't really guide that stuff by voice as well, although you can bookmark things.
But how do you get to the web browser in this thing? I don't even understand.
I think you say, "Hey, lady, open the web browser, or open Firefox, or open Silk," and it will open. And at that point, you just use the touch screen, and a little keyboard slides up, and it's kind of hilarious. So it's back there. It's like a show hack, but it actually makes it more useful, because then you can go to, I think they put it in because they wanted to let you go to YouTube, and YouTube didn't want you to be able to do that, so they finally were like, fine, we'll just put a browser on it, and you can't block browsers because everybody's got browsers. Checkmate, said Amazon, and YouTube wasn't paying attention and walked away.
I muted my microphone for a second, but telling it to open the web browser did not work, but telling it to open Silk worked just fine.
And now you got a web browser on your Amazon Echo. Isn't that weird?
It defaults to Bing.
Yeah, of course it does. That's a big finger in the air toward Google, because the reason that browser is there, and I think Firefox too, where you can install Firefox on it, is there too. So yeah, a little pro tip there about your Amazon Echo Show, a product that nobody has. But I kind of like it. It shows the timers. So we have it in the kitchen. And what I like about it is you do multiple timers. It shows you the multiple timers. That's nice.
I will say it gives me slight anxiety, because as it gets, when a timer has, I think, 5 seconds left or something, it starts showing an animation.
Yeah, it does. The little balls and knocking back and forth.
That anticipation stresses me out a little bit. Like, oh my God, my timer's about to go off, because you want to preempt it and can't.
Stop, lady, stop. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's all part of the game. It's all part of the goodness. Anything else going on in the world of computers? Oh, yes, you can.
You can change your default search engine from Bing to something else.
It's weird. It's like a little Fire tablet or something, except terrible is what that thing is.
As is the Fire tablet.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Good point. Solid point.
Jason,
burn.
It's been fun filling in for Dan. I don't know if I'm quite more in level, but I'm trying. I've done a lot of podcasting with him, so I have a sense of what he'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the beauty of the Six Color Secret podcast is there are no rules. And I take that to also mean there's no right or wrong way to do this podcast. Because this is where we try stuff out, like calling Lex on a Friday afternoon. Because Dan is, let's just be clear here, Dan is inside a Mayan pyramid right now.
So say we all.
The Chichen Itza. Yeah. Oh, good reference. Maybe he have like a head Lex who appears to him and says mysterious things.
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen one season.
Okay.
Of Battlestar.
Well,
I want to be clear.
All right. That's fine. There are Mayan pyramids in it. It's fine.
Wow. Chichen
Itza.
Good reference.
Chichen Itza.
All right. I'll take it.
Okay. Anything else in the world of computers?
High Six Color Secret lovers. No. I'm gonna go to a delayed birthday dinner because I was at Microsoft on my birthday. So I'm gonna go.
Ah, happy birthday! Yes, I wish you a happy birthday from Seattle.
That's why I came here.
Just a wonderful.
So you would wish me happy birthday on the Secret Podcast.
I appreciate that. Happy birthday to Lex, and let's plug the Rebound.
Can I plug all my podcasts?
Okay, but let's start with the Rebound. Do you have other podcasts?
The Rebound is a tech podcast with Dan Morin and John Moltz.
Yeah, it's three guys talking about technology. It's fascinating. Dan Morin, people out there know because he's usually here where you are. There's you, which people may know because they've gotten to know you in the last 16 minutes because it's you and you're here. And then John Moltz, nobody knows, and that's fine.
Never heard of him. Dan Morin and I do two other shows. We do a show called Not Playing, where we watch movies that everybody else has seen, but we haven't. That's on the Incomparable Podcast Network.
Interesting. That's a good network. I like that network. And Not Playing is a fun format.
We occasionally do a show called Inconceivable. That's part of Game Show, also on the Incomparable Network.
Yes, you keep scoring that controversially sometimes.
Mm-hmm. The Wikipedia page about it is great, or the Wiki page about it is great. And then I do another show with John Moltz with a guy named John Armstrong about fatherhood called Turning This Car Around.
And
I am the host of a podcast called The Wolf Den, which Jason has been a guest.
I have.
Also is Marco Arment from Accidental Tech Podcast.
Yeah, I really liked your, Accidental Tech Podcast. We brought it all the way back around. I liked your interview with Marco a lot. That was like the ultimate frenemy interview.
Yes.
But it was
podcaster
good.
Podcaster showdown.
Well, he's got opinions, and you were trying to kind of like challenge some of his opinions and his assumptions about what you do and what Stitcher does and all of that. And, you know, it was good. It was enjoyable. I think I was driving into Apple when I heard that one. I got to say, there is a large percentage of the podcast I listen to is me driving to Apple. Because I'm very rarely in my car for long periods of time because I don't have a commute. And then I have to drive 90 minutes both ways to Apple. And all the podcasts get binged right then.
90 minutes to Apple.
That's 2 hours. I mean, actually, well, I was going to say 2 hours in bad traffic.
Do you charge while you're there?
I had 4 hours. I have 4 hours in bad traffic. I can't, you know what? I can't drive the electric car to Apple.
I was afraid
because
of that.
Because I would have to drive. Well, I could get it there. I have done it one time, but I got to drive in eco mode at 55 on the freeway. People are angry when you drive 55 on the freeway in order to save battery, which takes longer to get there. And then I got to go to the Whole Foods in Cupertino where they've got a fast charger. And that's kind of stressful. And then drive slowly home. So I only have done that the once. Usually I just take the gas car.
The slower you drive, the more podcasts you can listen to.
It's true. It's true. That's when I get caught up on all my podcasts. Well, Lex, thank you for being a surprise special part of the Six Color Secret podcast. And basically, thanks for bailing out Dan, who is...
Story of my life, Jason.
...is in a Mayan pyramid. Will they let him out? Will the Mayans let him out? Probably not. So I guess we'll have James Thompson on next week.
I think it's a pyramid scheme.
Dan. Well done. Well done. And so until next week. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Dan. Bye, Jason.
Bye, Lex.